This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge. My name is Brad Brown. It's good to have you on board once again. If you are joining us for the very first time, welcome. You're in the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying and racing on the Big Island in Kona. And I don't profess to be an expert. I'm a triathlete just like you, trying to learn and find my way in the sport. I don't think I'm ever going to win anything unless I outlive everyone in my age group. I've done a few Ironmans going back for number six. So been around the sport for a while, but I love learning new things. And that's how this podcast was born, was to sort of find out what other age groupers are doing, because in the end, we're all just trying to get better, I think. And that's what this is all about. So welcome. It's good to have you with us. Today, we head to the United States to catch up with Chuck Sloan and find out a little bit about his Ironman story and how he got into the sport, and just a little bit about his journey. Been away from the sport for a while as well now, so we'll touch on that and find out what the plan is for the comeback. But before we get into my chat with Chuck, this episode of the podcast is brought to you by Wheel Science. If you are looking for race wheels, if you're in the market to buy a new set of race wheels, and they do make a big difference, let me tell you, they from a performance perspective, you cannot go wrong with slightly deeper rims. Obviously, you don't want to go too deep if it's windy where you are, but they do make a difference. The deeper you can go, the better. And Wheel Science have got some amazing wheels starting at $799, so great value for money. They've also been put through their paces, and they are right up there with the best in the world, okay, from a performance perspective. And the massive upside is they're more than half the price. So you cannot go wrong. They come with a lifetime warranty, worldwide warranty. They ship them worldwide, so definitely go check Wheel Science out, okay? The website to get to, just go to thekonaedge.com/wheels. It'll take you straight through to the Wheel Science website. Plus, if you do decide to pick up a set, make sure you use the coupon code KonaEdge, all one word, KonaEdge, at checkout, and they'll give you 10% discount. We head to Tulsa in Oklahoma now to catch up with our next guest, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Chuck Sloan onto the podcast. Chuck, welcome onto the Kona Edge.
Thanks, Brad. I appreciate being here.
Chuck, I need to make sure, first of all, I tend to do a bit of research on my guests, and I typed your name into Google. There's a professional wrestler by the name of Chuck Sloan. You're not him, are you?
I am not him. No, that's not me. Sorry to disappoint.
That's classic. It popped up and I was like, whoa, I'm sure it's not the same guy, but I'd have to bring it up. But Chuck, let's talk a little bit about your sort of background, sporting background. You grew up as a bit of a runner, a track runner, and ended up in Oklahoma on a scholarship, and steeplechase was your weapon of choice. Tell me a little bit about that.
I started running in high school just as a way to get in shape. And then next thing I knew, I got a scholarship, came to Oklahoma, and I saw the steeplechase, and I thought, man, that's really an event I wanted to try. And so it really became kind of my specialty event. It offered a lot of different type of training and racing, with going over the hurdles and a water barrier. And I really enjoyed, competing with the different guys in the steeplechase. So it offered a way for me to really excel, and not just be a regular, 1500 meter runner or 5000 guy or whatever,
Yeah, I mean, it's something very, very different, and it's one of those events I love watching. There's always action happening, and from a physical point of view, it's not one of the easiest track events.
No, I said before, you kind of have to have some flexibility and coordination. You have to have the strength of a 5,000, 10,000 meter runner, but you have to kind of have the speed of a 1500 meter runner. So it really kind of fit my personality, I guess you might say. Maybe I'm not the best 5,000, 10,000 guy or the best miler, 1500 meter guy, but when you kind of add a number of different things in there, I really excelled. So,
and then Chuck, your sort of introduction to triathlon, where did it start? I mean, when were you first introduced into the sport? When did you first start sort of getting involved?
Well, okay, so after college, and I actually got injured, and I really couldn't run anymore. And my buddy who started doing triathlon said, "Hey, you should come out and do triathlon. You'd be great at it. You'd love it." And I was like, "Man, I can't even swim. I mean, I can swim, but I can't, you know, I've never swam competitively. I don't know." He's like, "Oh, don't worry about it." He goes, we can figure that out." He said, and so, you know, so then in 2006, I started, I did a duathlon. I had some success and then came back and started doing short course type, you know, sprint and Olympic distance triathlon. So then, of course, you just kind of naturally graduate up. I mean, some people maybe they just jump right in and say, "Oh, I'm just going to do it, man." But I kind of like that shorter distance. And then I met my wife. She was doing Ironman events. And she said, "Hey, a real triathlon is 140.6. So when you're done kind of doing this Olympic distance stuff, why don't you step up and go along?" So naturally it kind of went that way. And my first Ironman event was Ironman Coeur d'Alene.
I love that. And when the girl you're trying to impress says to you, "You need to stop messing around with the Olympic distance and go long," there's only one option there, is there?
Yeah, she kind of challenges your manhood a little bit, right?
did Ironman and that longer stuff, did you find it come easy to you, or is it something you struggled with?
No, I struggled. The reason I struggled was because as a runner, I was always very frustrated with the pace of the marathon. And you know, I was normal, you know, I was like, "Oh man, I can click off 6 minute miles all day long," you know, coming from a running background. And unfortunately you get into an Ironman event and you realize that that is not going to happen after riding 112 miles. So it was challenging. And I never have felt like I've really been able to run well off the bike. And never had the race that I really wanted in terms of being able to, you know, on the marathon portion of the race.
We'll talk about the sort of last couple of years, but in saying that, you say you've never quite got that dialed in running well off the bike, but you're pretty good at it, and you were. I mean, you haven't done an Ironman for a couple of years now for various reasons, and we'll touch on that in a moment. But you've been to Kona, you've qualified for Kona a few times, and you've raced there, so you know mug at this thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've qualified and raced Kona 5 times. I was one of the very fortunate people that was able to qualify in my first race. My first Ironman distance race, when I raced Coeur d'Alene, I was able to qualify for Kona that year in 2009. And it was pretty eye-opening, honestly, how fast people were. And really how fast their bike splits were. And then they'd come off and maybe they wouldn't run so well, but they'd have such a huge advantage on me on the bike. So yeah, it was eye opening for sure.
Jake, I mean, 5 visits to Kona, you're still saying you don't feel like you've had the, or got the run off the bike figure. Now, but the last couple of years have been pretty frustrating for you, just from an injury point of view. You haven't been able to do anything close to what you would have liked to do. I take it you're very competitive. You don't race collegiately, sort of on the track team, if you don't have that competitive spirit. How frustrating has the last few years been for you?
You know, it is pretty frustrating because you sit there and you watch, you know, some of the guys in your age group and Because at this point, you know, I've been doing this Ironman for Ironman events for the past 9 years. And so you kind of know who's in your age group and the guys that are really doing well. And so you kind of see that. It kind of makes you want to get out there and say, hey, I can still throw down. But yeah, I mean, you know, injuries, a lot of times it's just part of the sport, and you tend to, you know, some guys tend to just, you know, they're able to kind of push through. And I've been really mindful to really try to back off, when I have something going on and try to get fully recovered. As a matter of fact, I've just been talking to, a strength training, I don't know. He's kind of our strength trainer that we use here in town. And he, and I said, look, I got to get my body back into, you know, into a place where I'm not going to be getting injured all the time. And all these little things that just creep up and kind of keep you from, you know, doing the things that you want to do, whether it's run, bike, swim, or, you know, whatever that might be. If I wanted to go do Xterra or I wanted to do Ironman, you know, or, you know, I do cyclocross in the wintertime, fall and winter, and I really, really enjoy that. So, I just, as we get older and, you know, when we're younger, we just kind of like, you're just full steam ahead, you know, and you never worry about injuries. And then all of a sudden you kind of get older and things start kind of breaking down and you might, you know, so yeah, it's a process, and it's definitely, it's never easy to be injured and not be able to do the things that you'd like to do.
Jack, I think you bring up a very important point there too. And I think anybody who's done endurance sports at some stage and has picked up an injury can probably attest to this, that when you're coming back from injury, particularly when you're doing events like an Ironman, because a lot of it, yes, you've got to be physically strong, but a lot of it is mental, and you can almost do it on memory. So coming back to it, you mentally feel like you can do it, but physically you're not in any place to be doing the massive sort of volumes that you need to be doing for an Ironman. And often you see it, people come back and they're around for a month or two and then they're injured again. And it's having the sort of wisdom and the sort of humility, if you want to realize it, you know what? I'm not where I was maybe a year from now or 2 years from now. I need to really ease back, almost start from scratch and get a real solid, consistent base of training together in order to launch off to do whatever it is, if it's an Ironman or Xterra or whatever it is.
Yeah, you know, I've really kind of changed my tune, honestly, in the last probably 5 years. I think in 2012 when I podiumed in Kona, I kind of got to the point where I was really fried. Like I was just really burnt out. You know, you're trying to juggle, you know, family, work, triathlon, you know, and Kona can just be so, and Ironman training can be just so, involved and it's, you know, basically it's a lifestyle and it's in every single thing you do, you're thinking about, well, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, you know? And so I think I'd put all my eggs in one basket and I'd gotten to the point where I said, I just can't do this. And I couldn't finish workouts, you know? And so now over the last couple of years, I've really started looking at, well, what can I do to kind of optimize my training a little bit and get the most bang for my buck, or, you know, and really be able to juggle, especially now we have a 4-year-old and, you know, there's always stresses in job and you know, other things in life that you kind of have to deal with. So I've kind of started changing like how hard I'm, you know, pushing myself in training and, you know, how hard those workouts are versus, making sure that I'm getting enough rest and those types of things.
I've definitely
pulled it back a little.
Sorry to interrupt. You make quite an interesting point there, because I always chat. I mean, when I chat to age group, as I was speaking last week to Rowan Forster about this exact same thing, that we see triathletes come burst onto the scene. They're around for 4 or 5 seasons, and then they're burnt out. They're absolutely fried. And you sound like you were one of those guys. If you had to go back and do everything over again, knowing what you know now and the way you're building up and doing things at the moment, would you change anything the way you did it?
I probably would, you know. I mean, hindsight's always 20/20. I think my coach and I had, you know, we had a pretty good plan. I think I probably really just tried to cram too much in. And I think I didn't do a good job of being honest with myself about, you know, how deep I was going into the well, you know. And my coach was great about working with me on, you know, if I said, hey, I'm really smoked. He's pulling me back, you know. He's like, all right, let's do this. I'd probably do some things differently. Sure. But at the time, I mean, now looking back on it, without kids or anything, it's kind of you think, oh well, I actually had the time to do those things.
It's amazing that Jack, looking at sort of Kona as an event and as a spectacle. Obviously, there's something special about it that brought you back, as you say, 5 times. What is it that makes racing on the Big Island in the Ironman World Championship so special?
Man, there are a lot of things. You know, all of race week, it's just the build up, and I always enjoy walking around and kind of watching everybody, and everybody's so amped up and there's so much energy. Like that island just feels like it's going to explode. I mean, both it really is, but like, I mean, the people, there's so much energy around. Everybody's so hyped up, and you can see it out there on the road. And I used to just kind of joke with my wife about, cause she's also, I mean, she's been to Kona like what, 8 times. I mean, she's qualified probably 10 times to go to Hawaii. And it's like, we kind of joke around. It's like everybody's running around and there's high stress levels. You know, people are kind of snippy with the people that they're with, or they're in line or whatever it might be. You know, everybody's kind of on edge just before that race. And then they get in the race, and then you just see people, and it's just like, they literally can't control themselves and they're just blasting out. And Kona is just a different race. It doesn't matter. Like, whatever race you do to qualify, it's just, I really think that race, it just, all of the different elements that you go through in the course of that race. I don't think a lot of people, until you've raced it, fully understand what's coming. I remember the first time I was out there, I was like, yeah, okay, it's going to be hot. You know, I live in Oklahoma. It's, you know, 100 degrees for like 30 days straight or whatever. Whatever, you know, I'm not that, whatever, heat. Yeah, it's humid. Okay. Yeah, you know, it's got a little bit of climbing in it, and okay, well, we've got rolling hills around here. It's not that big a deal. But when you start, and then obviously wind, you know, the wind factor. But thing is, in Kona, every single time you race Kona, it's different. Whether it's the water, you know, oh well, you know, the we had kind of like a storm, and the water was really was actually pretty choppy, and I was thinking, oh, this is great for me, because I'm not this is weird, but I'm not a very good swimmer. I'm always like an hour guy, right? So I'm coming out in the middle of everybody, because everybody's an hour swimmer if they go to Kona. But like, I probably had my best swim in the worst conditions when I race, and I was just like, It's kind of funny how that goes when you kind of think of it differently, instead of thinking, man, I got to be in the, you know, I got to swim a 56, get out of the water, get on that bike, you know, and be out in that front group. And then, you know, you go into the swim thinking, well, if I swim an hour one, I'd be happy with that kind of swim. And the next thing you know, you're actually in the top of your age group, coming out at 101, not obviously not top, but like because it was a rough day in the water. And so that island just creates these different scenarios every time. Well, which way, you know, predominantly the winds come this way and that way. Well, one year I was racing and all of a sudden I got this tailwind on the Queen K, and I was thinking, what is this about, when we were out at Waikoloa? I was amazed. I was going 30 miles an hour, pushing 240 watts or something like that, you know, and thinking, I was like, wow, I've never had this happen to me before. Because usually you're just grinding your way back on the Queen K that last 30 miles, you know? Yeah. So it's just different. It offers a little bit of everything. And people don't realize, you're like, oh, you're on the island. They don't realize how hilly that run course is, how much up and down. It's like 1 mile up, 1 mile down, 1 mile up, 1 mile down. So, it's very, very tough course.
It is a beast. Chuck, having not been there as an athlete for the last few years, do you suffer when it comes around with a bit of FOMO? I mean, like Ironman World Champs 70.3 are in a week and a bit here in South Africa. Kona's not too long to go now. Do you, in the build up to it, go, man, I wish I was there, and just sort of almost grind your teeth thinking, yeah, I should have, could have, would have?
I think that when you've been to Kona a few times, you definitely get that FOMA, as you would say, to be there and to race. There's just so much excitement and energy that goes into that race in Hawaii, that it's hard not to miss it. So with that being said, maybe here in the next couple of years, I can get back. I know my wife and I both talk about going back to Kona, kind of when things are a little bit, everybody's healthy and ready to go. So
the first time you go is obviously tough, and going back is, I don't know, is it harder? Is it easier knowing what to expect? It's almost like your first Ironman. You go into it sort of, yeah, not really knowing what to expect, and you get it done. And the second one, sometimes the fear of knowing is worse than the fear of not knowing. Is it the same with Kona?
Yes. I mean, I think that definitely the second time. I mean, I guess it depends on your disposition. Are you, you know, I definitely have those nerves. I remember in 2014, I was like, okay, this is my fifth go around at this deal. I kind of know what to expect, but at the same time, you know, I'm going to do this, and this, but at the same time, man, it's a tough day. It's just a very tough day. And it's coming. And have you prepared enough, or have you done all the things you need to do to make sure you're ready? And I definitely feel like there's a little bit of both, you know, for somebody that's been there. But that first time, I always tell people that first time, don't try to have your perfect race or anything. You know, there are things that will go wrong. They inevitably do. And you just have to be prepared and be able to think, okay, what do I need to do to kind of right the ship? Or, because it's just such a long day, and it can be so hard. And especially if, you know, you can have numerous things that just go wrong, and you really have to, it's all about attitude and just kind of keeping a positive mindset.
Yeah. And that's, so. I mean, you mentioned having the perfect race, and I guess with an Ironman, that's difficult. I don't know if there is such a thing as a perfect race, because it is so long and things can go wrong, but you're so right about it being an attitude and how you react to things when they do go wrong. Because let's be honest, things do go wrong in a race, and it's how you bounce back from that. It's how you bounce back from that matters.
Right. Yeah. It's been, I mean, every time I've had a different challenge, a different issue, whether it was cramping or throwing up on the bike or, luckily I've been really fortunate in my Ironman races not to have, like, I haven't had a real bad mechanical or a flat. So that's been lucky. It's a tough place, and it's a long time for everything to go just exactly right. So you gotta really have a really good mindset going into that race.
Absolutely. Well, Chuck, it's been great catching up and talking about your journey into the sport. I look forward to talking a little bit about the individual disciplines, the swim, the bike, the run, and sure, your nutrition plan. But we'll say that for next time. Thanks for your time on the Kona Edge today.
Thank you.
And that's it for this edition of the Kona Edge. Thank you very much to Chuck for joining me today. Apologies, one or two little sound issues in that one. But I think it was enough to sort of get through it. And I thoroughly enjoyed my chat with Chuck. We'll be chatting to him in a week from now, just over a week from now, to find out about what he's done to improve his swim during his Ironman career. Before I go, a massive thank you to Wheel Science for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. If you're looking for world-class race wheels with all the performance but at half the price, then Wheel Science is your go-to. Just head over to thekonaedge.com/wheels if you'd like to find out more. And make sure you use the coupon code KonaEdge at checkout to get 10% discount. Until tomorrow, from myself, Brad Brown, cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.